Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
New figures from the Central Statistics Office show that residential property price growth slowed to a 14-month low of 10.8% in September, with certain areas of the country, including the West and Midlands, showing the largest jump in prices. So, is this welcome news for people hoping to purchase a home? Well, we're joined now by Pat Davitt, who's Chief Executive of the Institute of Professional Auctioneers and Valuers, and also from our Dáil studio by Sinn Féin Housing Spokesperson TD Eoin O'Brien. And you're both very welcome to the programme this evening. Pat, I might start with yourself, and can you tell us what's your assessment of these figures? Because there's some notable property price increases, for example, in the Midlands and in the west of the country.
Thank you, Claire. There are two very important facts today from the figures, the CSO figures. And one is that there's more property coming back on the market for sale. And two is that the prices that we've seen, the high price we've seen, are coming probably to an end. Maybe not as fast as some people would like, but certainly coming to an end. In the Midlands, and you talk about the West, people looking at and talking about the prices of 2006, you hear lots of times people saying prices are back to where they were in 2006 levels. The index is back, but the prices are not back in many parts of the country, especially in those areas that you're after speaking about. And they are still catching up and will catch up even further. So that's why the prices on the Western region and the Midlands are actually going up.
Yeah, it probably won't be any surprise to people that the most expensive aircode over the last 12 months was in Blackrock. There was a median price there of 725,000, and Ballyhaunis had the least expensive at 125,000. That was the median price again. That's from the CSO. So is this an expected slowdown then in price growth? Do you think that's happening at the moment? Why is it happening, and is it likely to continue?
Well, we saw these price increases, the sudden change in May of this year, as prices and reserve prices were actually were lowering, and eventually the reserve prices are going down, I'd say. So that we have seen this coming in May, and actually if we did our barometer, we do a 6-monthly barometer, if we did it in May of this year, we would have seen prices up at 10%. However, when it got as far as June, the prices are 6.36%, and they've gone down ever since. And those figures that you're speaking about there in the CSO are in September figures. So again, if we looked at October, November, you'll see them coming down again. We believe that the price increase for the full year is somewhere in the region of 8%, and we're looking at next year, for the first 6 months of next year, a zero growth. So yes, prices are changing, prices are coming down. The reasons for it are many, I suppose many reasons. Prices have gone up considerably over the since the COVID period ended, and now with interest rates actually going up, it's making a lot of purchasers, taking some purchasers out of the market. And as the market is slowing, you would see a lot of people who are waiting to sell the property that like to sell at the high of the market, putting the property on the market. So there's a lot more properties in the market for sale.
Okay. So the big question then, Pat, before we bring in Eoin O'Brien, you mentioned 0%. You've mentioned 0% next year. Is there any likelihood of the prices starting to drop?
Well, we can't see that as of yet. It's not evident in what's happening, but it is evident that the prices are slowing and the prices will get to a stage when there will be no growth or very, very little growth. That could be the very same as maybe a little bit under growth as well, but at the same time, that's what we're looking at the moment for the first 6 months of next year.
Okay. Eoin, what's your take on these figures? A sign of the market levelling off, that has to be good news for home buyers.
Well, it's never good news for home buyers when house prices are in double-digit inflation. So whether it's 10%, 12% outside Dublin, or the 14% and 17% in the Midlands and the West, that's bad for buyers. It is the case that the rate of increase might be slowing. But if you're buying a house this year and the house price has increased by 10 to 17%, that really is all that matters. We don't know the kind of length of time it's going to take this trajectory to fall. But what we do know is if you're a buyer right now and you're dealing with the cost of living crisis, interest rates are also going up, so you can you'll be expected to pay more. The actual ability of many buyers to buy is becoming increasingly difficult. And part of the problem here, of course, is alongside these price rises, government have only delivered less than 500 affordable purchase homes this year, and questionable policies like Help to Buy and the very controversial shared equity loan are contributing to house price inflation. So at a time when house prices are still rising very significantly, government policy isn't doing what it should be doing to ensure people have access to genuinely affordable homes.
Yeah, well, the government, of course, don't deny that it's contributing to house price inflation in any meaningful way.
Yeah, and look, house price inflation is a complicated thing. There are many factors that contribute to it. But all of the evidence tells us if you increase the supply of credit in a market where a supply of stock is constrained, it'll contribute to house price inflation. For me, the bigger problem, however, is affordable homes. Like Dara O'Brien and Owen Murphy back in 2018 promised, the two of them together promised delivery of 6,000 genuinely affordable homes up to 2021. Not a single one of those was delivered. Last year, we had not a single affordable home to purchase delivered by this government. This year so far, as of the end of October, only 500. That is nowhere close to the scale of demand that's required. And government can't control what the private sector does. They can help regulate it and they can help activate it. The one thing government can control is its direct investment and direct delivery of affordable homes. And we need at least 4,000 affordable purchase homes a year at genuinely affordable prices. Government isn't going to come anywhere close to that until the latter end of a 10-year strategy, by which stage the affordable housing demand will be even greater. So I am absolutely concerned that government demand-side policies and the recent changes by the central bank to the macroprudential rules will contribute in some part to house price inflation. Interest rates are also going to create difficulties for buyers. But ultimately, it's the lack of affordable housing by government that really is making this crisis worse.
Yes,
not just for modest income, but for good income working families.
You will know that the Taoiseach said today that the government are making very significant gains in terms of affordable housing. He acknowledged there was a need to build them faster. He said progress is being made. And he also said that government is going to exceed its targets to provide 24,600 new homes by the end of the year. And it's going to increase that target to 29,000 homes next year.
And he said all of that on the day that his Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien, is reported in the Irish Examiner as accepting that the overall annual average target of 33,000 units a year isn't enough. We need 40,000. But also, when the government says that they're meeting their targets, they're not. The overall target that they've set, very low and modest as it is, for public and private sector housing will be met. But by the end of this year, the government will not have met either their social or affordable housing targets, both of which are far too low. And what's also important is there has been an increase in commencements and completions in recent years, but there hasn't necessarily been an increase in new homes for people to buy on the open market. Some of the increase has been, for example, in very, very expensive build-to-rent or one-off homes. So that you can increase the overall number of homes delivered, and that will be the case this year, but crucially, the supply of social, of affordable rental and purchase, and of private purchase homes won't increase within that. And that's one of the major contributing factors, not only to house price rises, but why increasingly people on good wages can't afford to buy a home. I just did a round of meetings with school principals in my own constituency. Almost every single school has permanent contracted jobs unable to fill because of the cost of housing. It's the same in the healthcare sector. It's the same in other key working sectors. That's why young people are talking about leaving the country or at least leaving the capital. And when they're leaving the capital, that's also having the impact of pushing up house prices as they move to the country. So if Micheál Martin thinks his plan is working and making progress, he's living on a different planet to the rest of us.
Pat, I want to ask you about rents, because rents, as we've been seeing over the last couple of months, are through the roof. We had this eviction ban in place, which I know you weren't in favour of. It feels like it's already going to be up soon enough, I think, in a couple of months' time. What do you think is likely to happen then?
Well, I think when the eviction ban is over, it's what I've said before, ever since then it came into being, I think there'll be a flurry of people looking to evict people out of their houses. And that's not a good thing for anybody, and no landlord wants to evict anybody. But at the end of the day, a landlord has to have the right to evict somebody from their property. It's going to save people over the winter period, but the minute it's over, it's going to be a disaster. And 5 months, I know the government are speaking about 5 months, that they're going to do something with regards to stock in 5 months. Like, that's simply not going to happen, pie in the sky. I think that what's much more needed in the rental market is that the minister or whoever his officials actually start looking deep into the rental market and see what are the problems and trying to sort them out one by one. It's not going to be a blanket cover that's going to sort out the rental market, but it's a number of issues and of small issues that lead to something very, very big. We have identified those issues with the government on many, many occasions, and indeed Owen has agreed that some of the issues we're talking about are there and very live and need to be tackled. But like at the end of the day, if we're hoping that an eviction ban is going to stop the run of landlords leaving the marketplace. And the reason they were leaving the marketplace, we all know, is they're the ones that are at the bottom of the market. It's the ones with no rent who can't charge market rent. They're the ones that's leaving the market. And they're the ones who really need in the marketplace. We don't need the rent. Rent up at 3,000 euros, as we were told very recently. There's plenty of those rents available. But when you come down to the thousands or whatever, somewhere in that region where people, where most people can afford to rent property, they're not available. So that's really the ones, and they're the landlords that are leaving the marketplace. So something needs to be done. The government needs to take action, and needs to take action very, very quickly. Like, this has gone on now for 4 years.
So what do you think of that, Owen? Because you called for the eviction ban, the winter eviction ban, to be put in place. Pat says that's going to lead to a glut of people being evicted when that ban is lifted. And do you also want rent controls?
Absolutely, although I'd like to see rent controls that are designed properly, not like the badly designed ones introduced by Simon Coveney. Pat is right in one respect. There is no point having a winter ban on evictions unless government takes emergency measures to try and increase the supply of social and affordable housing, either through acquisitions, through emergency planning, through high-grade modular, or through other mechanisms. And my worry, and I share this with Pat, is that while the government introduced a winter ban on evictions under fear that there would be large-scale presentations of families with children to guard the stations because our emergency accommodation system is full, I haven't heard a single thing from the Minister for Housing or indeed the Taoiseach or Taoiseach as to what they're going to do to ensure we're not back here in the same situation in April. And for example, and a very concrete example, there's 35 tenancies in Tahani House in Dublin 8. That landlord wants to sell. That property could be purchased by a local authority or an approved housing body.
But government have said that they are mandating local authorities to do they will purchase those people.
This is what's very frustrating. So if you take Tahani House, for example, currently the government aren't looking at buying that because it would require both social and cost rental tenancies. They need to buy that. But I could take you to local authorities up and down the country where local authorities are not purchasing the properties because they haven't been given a clear set of instructions by the department. I've drafted a circular, I've given it to the minister, setting out what he needs to tell the local authorities to acquire those properties. Some are acquiring them, some are taking far too long.
Telling me, Owen, that if Sinn Féin were in government and you put in the winter eviction ban like you called for, that by February next year, when the winter eviction ban is lifted, that you would have managed to put in place sufficient emergency housing through the method that you're talking about, or through modular homes, fast built, or rapid built homes, which, as we have seen repeatedly over the last 10 years, is never rapidly built. It just never is. That you, Sinn Féin, would have managed to do in 6 months all of that to make sure that there wouldn't be a glut of evictions in February.
I'm strongly of the view, and I've set this out in writing, that the state, if it took emergency measures over those 5 months, could acquire and provide several thousand additional units of social and affordable accommodation, which would take the pressure off the emergency accommodation system so that you wouldn't have the glut that Pat says. But the emergency planning powers would have to be used, a serious approach to high-grade modular housing for long-term housing.
What do you mean by emergency planning powers?
So, for example, there are a number of local authority sites where the local authorities currently are exploring planning permission. I think the minister could use some of his emergency powers under ministerial order to fast-track planning in a small limited number of places to provide long-term secure housing.
Likewise, communities get no say?
Communities would get some say, but we're in the middle of an emergency.
Would they get?
They would be consulted, but it would be in a fast-track process through the use of emergency planning powers.
Would they have a right to object?
Of course, but the single biggest objection we need to make is to more children being in emergency accommodation.
No, I understand that, but if you're talking about emergency planning powers, I mean, that's significant, isn't it? Because communities surely have a right to say what's happening on their plot or on their or a land close to them.
And
if you want to get this done in 6 months, right, which is what you're talking about, so you're going to introduce legislation, get it passed through the Dáil.
No, I didn't. And it's important that we're very honest with people. The minister currently has the powers to do all of the things that I've just outlined. All of them, and he has chosen not to do them. The minister is, rightly in my view, using emergency planning powers to ensure we're able to provide good quality emergency accommodation for people fleeing the war in Ukraine. That is something I support. The same minister needs to use the same emergency powers to ensure we can have high-grade, modular, permanent homes for families who are currently in emergency accommodation or at risk of homelessness.
But hold on a second, Owen. Those emergency planning powers that the Minister is trying to use to provide modular housing for people coming from Ukraine have been objected to all around the country because communities are saying we don't have the resources or the space to deal with it. And indeed, I think we discussed this last time you were on this show, one of your own colleagues has wrote to constituents in her area in Kildare telling people there's Ukrainians coming into this area, we don't have the resources to deal with them and let's have a meeting and let's discuss it.
Well, first of all, that's not what was in the letter, Sarah. I'm surprised that you're misrepresenting it in that way. What we have been saying, including in that letter, because
was incorrect about what I said there?
We didn't call any meeting. In every comment we have made on the Ukrainian refugee crisis, we have said we want the government to provide good quality emergency accommodation. And to do that right, they have to ensure there's an adequate package of supports, both for the refugees and the host communities. That is entirely reasonable. My point about the winter ban on evictions is, unless there is the use of emergency planning powers, high-grade modular accommodation, and an aggressive tenant in situ purchase programme of properties that landlords legitimately want to sell, and in many cases want to sell to the local authorities, but the local authorities won't buy them, that's the kind of action that's required. And
can you explain to me
2,000 or 3,000 units of accommodation, good quality social and affordable accommodation over that 5 and 6 month period? Yes, you could.
Okay, can you explain to me why you think those emergency planning powers, if they're used by the Minister to start building rapid build houses, which are not rapid build, as I think you will accept, around the country in the next 6 months, why you think if the Minister was to do that for homeless people or for to provide modular housing, why he wouldn't run into the same difficulties as he's run into all over the country trying to do it for Ukrainian people?
So the Minister for Housing hasn't run into any difficulties in terms of using emergency planning powers. It's the Minister for Children I'm going to answer your question because it's an important question. The Minister for Children is running into very, very significant difficulties because of the cumbersome way in which they're using procurement processes to deliver those modular units. And again, I don't think that's the Minister of Children's fault. I think it's the fault of other government departments. That is something that is relatively easily fixable. And I'm talking to the companies who provide modular building technology, and they're telling me when they go into the meetings with government about providing modular accommodation, whether temporary accommodation for Ukrainians or permanent homes for people in emergency accommodation and homeless, they don't get the sense that the government is serious in driving this forward. If Sinn Féin were government and if I was the minister, that wouldn't be an issue.
Owen O'Brien, thank you very much for joining us, and thanks also to Pat Davitt, Chief Executive of the Institute of Professional Auctioneers and Valuers. You can let us know what you think to 51551.